always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Like, you could have helped Dalton as well with the Julie. Could have had both Dalton and Adu.
Does he
and
help down there? I don't know.
He helps down there. Come on. He had a good game. Well, the first game was troubling. The second game, he played a lot better.
He's so bad. He needs, by the way, not so quietly, I report that he asked the Lakers for a trade, and he has barely played at all since. And there have been plenty of opportunities, plenty of injuries, plenty of rotation, situational things. Like, he and the Lakers are very clearly ready for a break from each other. And hopefully whenever he gets that break, he makes a better use of that opportunity than he has made of this one.
Yeah, it's disappointing because his November will go in whatever Hall of Fame record books, at least on his wall, hopefully, started games.
He and Cam Johnson are right there in that November, October, November Hall of Fame.
Right. But I mean, as a rookie, you said Cam Johnson, Cam Reddish. Cam Johnson.
Yeah. No, Cam Reddish. Yeah. Cam Johnson's been excellent. Very, like,
right. Yes. He's good throughout the year.
There was that concern at the beginning part of the season. And I think over the last 50 or so games, he's shooting almost 40% from 3-point range.
He's also in the, the NBA narrative on a player sticks so long that a 2-second Google search kills any, cause the thought was he's struggling from three. It's kind of this wide based narrative. If you hear national people talk about him, it's like, oh, Cam Johnson is shooting from three. I was like, oh, okay, he must be struggling. I look up his numbers, shooting 43% from three on pretty good volume. So he's figured it out.
He's doing all right.
He's doing okay. Yeah. Is he better than MPJ? That's a context for another day, I guess. But no, Dalton's November, his rookie year, was incredible. Started games, closed games. D'Lo was out, I believe, and he started for him. And some of the thought was, oh man, is Dalton just going to stay in the starting lineup? Did the Lakers draft a first round, ready now shooter, 4-year college product, right? Drawing up plays for him on a whiteboard right as the draft, commenced. And from now, where, he's behind not only Bronny, he's behind guys.
He's behind you in the rotation.
Okay. All right. No, he's not behind me. But it's.
Could you imagine? Sad. Everybody fouls out. JJ looks across media row. He's looking at you and Jovan.
Dalton's about to take his, his warm ups off.
He's taking his warm ups off. He's like, no, I don't know. Raj, get on in there.
Oh man,
you would immediately that night make more money than you've made all year.
I'd play for JJ knows I'd play for free. That's the problem. That's the issue too. I would not cost anything. I get to play on the court. I would pay for that, actually.
Oh man. Dalton's definitely gonna fight me if we meet up in Vegas. If we bump into he's has no idea who I am. All right. Let's try to wrap this thing up with a conversation, Raj, about the implications of this weekend. And man, there are so many questions that come out of this thing. Honestly, this is going to be a podcast of its own at some point, right? We only have a couple of minutes. Now, you know what? Let's save it. It's too depressing. We just laughed. It was fun. The chat's got all the cry laughing emojis. Let's let everybody enjoy the rest of their Easter. Let's dive into the chat. We did get a super comment, which means we get to play the most important show or sound on the show. Here we go.
Stop watching!
before you read this super comment really, really quickly, just that I got upset all over again because that clip you just played of the anti-Boston. Boston got Jason Tatum back from an Achilles tear this year.
Yeah.
Just adds to the what WTF of the Lakers season where they not only did that team win 50 games, they also got their best player to return from an Achilles tear while the Lakers are going to sit out another playoffs. This was supposed to be a gap year for Boston, and now they go into it, in my opinion, the best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't trust any of these other Eastern Conference teams to outduel them in a 7-game series, and they got their player back from an Achilles injury. It's just, yeah, all right, we can go with the super comment.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, the first one that we got here is from Mark's Carl 12. Might as well rest Braun Tuesday, and is playing Bronny over DK or Adu justified? So we kind of explained the Adu situation. I'm gonna ask to see if that's actually kind of what's going on there. I also just don't think JJ trusts rookies. Like, he's just, you know, I think he's like he's wired too tight to trust a rookie in meaningful minutes.
Yeah, to be fair, he's been correct. I mean, the team has won, so like the rotations that he put out, he's correct on that. Now your only pushback can be, should he have gone to more young guys?
Could have been better.
Well, to preserve, right? Next year. Yeah, preserve the players that are playing ahead of them. But I think overall, his like, and last year he played Jordan Goodwin, who wasn't a rookie, but at least young guy who earned a spot in the rotation. Yeah, so that's with the Adu thing. I think Bronny, it is deserved. Bronny's just on another level defensively than Dalton, and the offense is just negligible at best right now. And you could even say Bronny has played better offensively than Dalton Connect has, which is kind of crazy to go to. Insane. But yeah.
I Bronny's a significantly smarter basketball player than Dalton.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It makes his level of play out there a lot more predictable than Dalton's, and if anything, Dalton's play has been pretty predictable in that it's been bad. He steps out onto the court and bad things happen. I do the Bronny thing is somewhat tough because I think he is definitely better than he was last year, and I still find myself wishing he played harder, and his skill level from an offensive standpoint is like miles from where it needs to be. And we'll see, like, obviously this year is what this year became. We'll see what kind of improvements he makes over the course of this upcoming summer and what kind of player he returns to be next year. If he returns next season, right? I would say compared to expectations, I would say Bronny has been fine.
I think he's developed at the pace that a 55th overall pick would develop as.
Yeah, now, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Bronny James, the name probably doesn't. You know, you'd probably think a little bit higher in terms of the rotation piece he would be, but I think he's been fine. He's at least taken the step of he's gotten, I believe, too good for the G League. Like he plays well enough there where he doesn't really need that as the reps anymore. That doesn't do much for him, in my opinion. Like he can go out and score 20 plus in the G League. Like people are putting his 30 point games, and I was like, he was doing that last year. He had 30 plus games last year in the G League in his rookie season. Like he's shown that he can score at that level. He can hit step back threes at that level. It is now, how does that translate to the NBA? Which I don't think he's an on ball guard in the NBA. He's just too. I don't think he has the athletic size.
He can't dribble by anybody.
I mean, he has speed, but right, in terms of you being able to use that with the ball in his hands. He just doesn't have the size for it that you would need. And he's just not a, I guess, all-around scorer for that to be the case. But I think he can be helpful as, hey, you come off the bench, you guard the other team's point of attack guy, you can run the offense. You know, you talked about the basketball IQ, good cutter. Can you hit a spot up three off of creation? Like, I think all that is stuff he can still do. So second year development, I think, has gone, you know, as, you know, as well as it could so far.
Yeah. Next year is going to be interesting because the Lakers clearly need another player who brings to the table the things that Marcus Smart brings to the table. This year, it should have been Jordan Goodwin. I think the biggest what if from this previous offseason was Rob Pelinka not doing enough to keep Jordan Goodwin on the roster. And I think if Goodwin is on the roster, it raises the floor on this Lakers team or on this Lakers season. Just in case Marcus misses time. Like you had to know Marcus was going to miss time. He's missed time every year, basically, since he's left Boston. And so, like, you know, if they had found a way to keep, but my point here is that, like, if next year Bronny can be Jordan Goodwin adjacent, then I would say, you know, that would be like best case scenario for Bronny next year.
Yeah, you mentioned Jordan Goodwin, and it's funny because they have a guy on their team who, again, I don't know who else is watching South Bay this much, but Chris Mannion is also a player that is, he's better than Goodwin in some areas. He's a better rebounder to me. He's, you know, he has just as good as hands. He's just not as good of a shooter, but that's something that Goodwin also developed. And I would have loved to see him get a chance, but he was obviously not even on the trip, did not play enough. He actually leads the Lakers, I think, in plus minus this year because he's played like 10 minutes and was a positive in those, but averaged around two steals a game with South Bay, had 11 rebounds tonight as a 6'4 guard. Like, that's another guy. He's on their two-way deal, and I don't even think he played 10 games with the parent team. That's another guy I wish they gave, you know, a shot to. At least let's see what your defense, you know, how does that translate to the next level? And they just never gave that the appropriate shot. So that's another guy that I wanted to kind of shout out from South Bay. But I mean, those are guys that you find. Drew Timmy, they like. I don't even know if he was in Dallas either. I'm not sure. But
the Mannion thing has been kind of frustrating. And honestly, I think it's been kind of frustrating dating back to even before JJ Redick got there. And like, sometimes you're GM / front office can be like too lockstep with your coach, in that both Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick, I think, have some of the same blind spots. Like those, like the Jordan Goodwins of the world, the Alex Carusos of the world, the Chris Mannions of the world. Like I think that their impact is sometimes minimized in Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick's eyes. Compared especially to like Luke Kennard's impact, right? Where you see Luke's impact on the offense, and both Rob and JJ are very offense leaning. So they're like, this is perfect. This is working out exactly as we had hoped. But then you watch a game like today where, like, yeah, Luke Kennard, and he was like a net positive, I believe, in this game. I'd have to go back and look again. And a big net positive, because the guys who were coming in for him were like, Kobe Bufkin and who's the other guy?
Nick Smith Jr.
Nick Smith Jr. But like, yes, Luke Kennard was helping from an offensive standpoint, but he was also helping Dallas's offense because of the way that Dallas just kept on targeting him with Cooper Flagg, and it was tough to watch at some stretches. So like, those are things that I wish that, like, hopefully, like, we got that. The Lakers announced that they are looking to supplement their analytics department. They are looking to supplement like some of these infrastructure gigs throughout the organization. And hopefully by beefing up some of those things, maybe beefing up the front office, some of those blind spots can kind of be filled, or at least mentioned in these basketball conversations.
some interesting plus minuses. By the way, Luke Kennard, I didn't realize how crazy of a game he had. 15 points, 16 rebounds, 11 assists. He was a plus 8 in this game. And to your point of the bench guys not be able to contribute, Kobe Bufkin was a minus 14 in 3 minutes, which I'm not even sure how that's possible. I mean, I'm not sure how you...
I'll never understand that signing. It's a two-way, it's a whatever, like 15th man signing or whatever, but it's just...
Well, I mean,
it didn't make any sense to me.
Well, this is my point on bringing both kind of hurt each of them, right? Because Kobe Bufkin plays 3 minutes, Nick Smith Jr. plays 2.5 minutes. It's just that might as well just compress that into one player and let them get some rhythm. Both of them obviously did not get any. Bufkin minus 14 in his 3 minutes. Vando minus 19 in 11 minutes. Another just crazy. How does that happen type of thing. But LeBron plus 1, Rui plus 5, Kennard plus 8. The starters kind of won their minutes. But the bench, as you would expect, right? The Lakers didn't have a crazy amount of depth anyway with Luka and Austin together, you know, healthy. You take them out and now the bench gets into some dangerous territory. So, that's tough. Your starters pretty much get it done, but you lose on those very few, you know, bench minutes that you're just trying to survive, and they're unable to.
It's tough to go from last year where like their two-way guys legitimately helped, right? Christian Coloco helped keep them afloat a little bit from time to time.
Yeah, Trey Jameson.
Obviously Jordan Goodwin, who we talked about as well. And then this year, like, they got some pretty good stretches out of Drew Timmy and then immediately stopped playing him and then got nothing from their two-way guys.
It is. The Maxi Kleber stuff is the one stuff that's a little bit like we just keep trying to go bring him up, make him involved in this for some reason. And he just does not look like an NBA level player, at least an everyday type of player. 12 minutes in this one. I thought he couldn't find anything. It's rough. Adu, only two DMPs in this one, Dalton and Adu, which Adu makes sense for Dalton again, that in a game like this, you couldn't get a single rotation minute is kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right. You know what? This was more fun than I thought it would be. There was more laughing. There was no crying. Neither you or I started crying, so that's good.
Publicly.
I am curious to see where things go from here, right? The Lakers play the Oklahoma City Thunder on Thursday, so we kind of know how that one's probably going to go. But I'm kind of curious how the rest of the season goes and the implications of the rest of the season, the implications of this weekend. There's going to be plenty of time to dive back into that subject as we get more clarity on that subject as well, you know, with the benefit of time. It's a tough weekend here for the Lakers. One of the more tough weekends in recent Lakers history. And it also serves, Raj, as a bit of a reminder. Back at that time, like over the course of March, spent so much time asking, are the Lakers legit? Are they legit? And you know, there were plenty of people who were kind of like Lakers fans, even who were kind of trying to like poke holes in the Lakers' legitimacy over the course of March. And I thought, you know, Pete made a good point and Harrison made a good point, and then I kind of like built off of that point. I'm sure you agree with this, but mathematically speaking, being a sports fan is an insanely stupid thing to do. Like in all of these leagues, you're looking at a roughly 1 in 30 chance at winning a championship in any given season. And sometimes even worse than that chance. And like at any moment, your season can just go straight down the tubes. And what I think this weekend should serve as a reminder for is like, you know what? When your team goes through stretches like the Lakers March was, enjoy it. Have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Open your heart to being hurt again, because eventually you're going to get hurt whether you open your heart to it or not. This last month was really fun watching this team. This team figure it out was really fun watching this team. And it sucks to arrive here On the other end of that, with such a devastating loss to the Thunder and then devastating losses at the top of the roster, but the people who didn't enjoy it are just as devastated right now as you and I are. And so we at least, at the very least, hopefully enjoy March more by not looking for reasons to poke holes in it.
100%. I was telling everybody I thought that team was real, that was a contender the whole time. And, you know, obviously you can look, you can always look past and you can always do comparisons of other teams better than this one. But I thought that was like the Denver game at home, being in the building for that and being able to watch that, that was just one of the most amazing games I've seen in the last 5-6 years of a team kind of pulling through and pulling their weight, be able to win that game. That will stick with me for a long time. The road games in Houston where you could tell the team has kind of, they believe, but that one was like, oh, we're kicking another contender's butt here. Now, wherever you think Houston falls in that, just at the time, but that was a big game for Houston as well to kind of show what they're made of, and for the Lakers to kind of kick them on their own home court twice, the back-to-back wins in Miami, the Luke Kennard game winner, and then, you know, you close it out by throttling a Cleveland team that feels they're also contenders. Like, just a perfect month of basketball, just exactly what you want to see from a team trending. And so it's just disappointing. It's cruel, I think is the word you used, and that's kind of the word I've kind of kept on. It's just a cruel way for the door to be cut. If the Lakers lost this season or even got embarrassed out of the first round and they were healthy, I could live with that. I could, you know, this team showed what their ceiling was. The March wasn't as fruitful as it seemed, right? You can contextualize that, but to not even get a shot, that is like, I watched the Spurs and the Nuggets have this classic game 2 days ago, like just the most incredible basketball game where they're punching each other, right? Jokic hits this fadeaway over Wemby, and they keep showing this graphic.
At times, really punching each other. Wemby punched Jokic in the face and didn't get a foul for it. Yeah.
Right. But during the game,
right, vice versa. Wemby hit Jokic in the face and didn't get a foul for it.
I mean, they were hitting each other all game, but they keep showing this graphic during the game of the top four teams in the West the last month, right? And they're showing all their records, and it's like Denver, it's like OKC, Lakers, Denver, San Antonio, and they're all at like this stupid record.
It looked like they're gonna have such a cool second round of the playoffs.
It was like 18-3, 19-2, 18-2, right? And just the Lakers one just stands out because it's just a blip now of, you know, something that does not exist anymore. They were doing the pregame like, oh yeah, Lakers have not lost to this Mavs team, or Lakers defense the last 12 games. Like, this all gets thrown out. None of that context matters this anymore. It sucks. But you move on. You hope that, you know, whatever happens, maybe they can win, you know, steal a few games in the first round, make it interesting, make Houston earn it, or make Minnesota earn it, whoever you play in the first round. And then move very quickly onto next year.
All right. Well, we said we weren't going to end depressed, and here we are. Hey, great. Raj, anything you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I just dropped a video for Offside. I, you know, wrote about the Lakers, I guess against ball pressure against OKC. We'll have something on this game tomorrow for Silver Screen and Offside as well tomorrow. But, yeah, it's tough. I refuse to go into off-season content yet. I'll continue to march on with this team, break down whatever matchups that we have. The Lakers play OKC at home on Tuesday. Then I'll be in San Francisco on Thursday to watch them play a more healthy Warriors team. So that's this week coming up.
You make different choices than I do. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Happy Easter to everybody who celebrated it over the weekend. Got to spend it with my family. Very special to be able to do that. Really try to enjoy those moments as much as I possibly can. And I hope that you guys were able to do so as well. So have a great rest of your guys' weekend. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Probably with Harrison. We'll see. Either it's a Harrison episode or it's a mailbag episode. Either way, we'll talk to you then.